Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound packs of juicy Kroger red, green, or black seedless grapes for $3.99 with your card and a digital coupon. Then get 1-pound packs of flavorful Private Selection 80% Lean Angus ground chuck for $4.99 each with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Ladies and gentlemen, we've got some breaking news.
Okay.
The Sacramento Kings at this hour
are no longer last in the league in three-point shooting. Let's go! 30% coming into the night and dead last. But they hit 15 tonight. And you know what that means?
What?
They have moved up to 29. Woo!
29.
15 of 28. Red Velvet coming through. Sabonis knocking down three. And how about our Trey Bayes tonight? Trey Lyles. Oh, but it wouldn't be a night chat talking about three-point shooting if we didn't mention our lockdown defender, our guy who had Devin Booker in jail. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Keegan
Murray!
We're not last! Woo! Happy Wednesday night!
Yeah! Oh. All about celebrating everything in life.
If you're happy, everybody, hit the thumbs up in the chat. Make sure you're subscribed. We're pushing 18,000.
Yeah, thank you.
And the beat is lit. Bring on those Minnesota T-Pops. Oh. The fog is out tonight.
It is.
Morgan's fighting a cold. But guess what? We are live. How are we doing in this chat?
You know, like every punchline or whatever in there. We are live. Clap that ass. And then you added, we're not last.
Oh. I know you're battling through a little. I'm gonna cold.
No, it's you guys, I don't know how it happened. I took DayQuil all day. So, like, you know, DayQuil just makes you feel good. And I was thriving. And then you can't take a certain amount throughout a 24-hour period. So I did just take NyQuil. So she's about to go, night-night.
She's going to be like slurring her words and coming up in 45 minutes. All right, let's get it started. Deuce and Mo, we're coming down in 3, 2, 1. Hit my music.
Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, they tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, the podcast that you know.
Hey, welcome into the Deuce and Mo podcast, recording this on a Wednesday night. For so long this year, each and every podcast has been dominated by one headline.
Can the Kings make a three?
Ooh.
Could the Kings make a three?
They were dead last in the NBA coming into tonight at 30%. Couldn't make open ones. Couldn't make anything. And it was haunting them in a major way. And here comes the Suns. No, 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 no. It's the same thing. Anyway, no KD
or Grayson Allen or Bradley Beal tonight. So how are the Kings going to handle things? Were they going to mess around, have to play starters big time minutes, have to grind it out? No, 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 no. They were able to win big tonight. It got a little hairy at times, but the Kings settled in and played Kings basketball. They knocked down 15 threes tonight. Morgan Reagan, 15 of 28. That is good for 53%. They shared the rock. 38 assists tonight. The ball was a popping. De'Aaron Fox was a madman. Kevin Huerter, big game. And Keegan Murray had Devin Booker singing Akon. I'm locked up. Keegan won't let me out. He won't let me out. Keegan Murray's defense was on it. And the Kings win on their home floor, 127-104. That was a long way to get to that. I'm Deuce Mason. That's Morgan Reagan. How you doing, Mo?
You know, just living life, feeling good. Love a Kings win.
Yeah, and it wasn't all good tonight. Yeah. Of course, no Malik Monk, but DeMar DeRozan did not come out in the second half. We're looking around going, what happened? Keon Ellis got the start in the second half. It turns out DeMar DeRozan left this game with lower back tightness, did not return.
Some guy turned to me, like, there's underneath the NBC booth, there's some seats, and some guy turned to me and goes, hey, what? Where's DeMar? And I look at him, and I go, I don't know. Like, we didn't know anything at that point. And he just gave me a glare like I was lying to him.
How do you not know?
Like, I had the inside scoop. That's funny. Like, I'm just like you way up here. I don't know. And so once we did find out, though, and he was out for the game, I wasn't thinking bad things, but I was feeling not very confident.
Well, yeah, because I think after he left, they started like the second quarter or the third quarter with a couple of turnovers. You're like, okay. Yes. And that was a big theme tonight for sure. I really liked how Sacramento came out of the gates tonight. And I think it all starts with De'Aaron Fox. And I want this De'Aaron more often. It's this attack mode. And I think he saw the matchup against the Suns and was like, I like this. You know, I'm not scared of Tyus Jones or Morris or even Ryan Dunn, who has a potential to be a really good defensive player in this league. De'Aaron Fox has a gift, his ability to attack, his speed. He's the fastest guy in the league. And the other thing he's really good at is in the mid range and attacking the rim. And especially a Suns team where Nurkic is not really a rim protector, when the Suns are facing the Kings small ball lineup and Lyles is pulling Plumlee out, there's not a lot of rim protection. And Fox can also finish over guys. De'Aaron Fox finished with 29 points, but 16 of those points came in the paint. And he only took two threes in this game, one of two from downtown. I thought his approach tonight offensively was perfect. And I think it set the tone for Sacramento to get some amazing looks because he also had 10 assists.
I'm with you. I think when you look at him being aggressive and we go, oh, can we get that Fox all the time? What that does not only for him and his scoring, mm-hmm. because it's such an incredible skill set to have when he is one of the fastest player in the league, but it just makes defenses have to work so much harder mentally and physically, which allows so many other people to be open, which allows De'Aaron to create so many more opportunities for others, like you said, dropping those 10 dimes.
Yeah. And he was outstanding in this game. Ends up finishing, like I said, with 29 points on 11 of 17 shooting. He was 6 of 8 at the line. Had those 10 assists. He also had a couple of steals and 3 turnovers and a block. And guess what?
What?
He played 32 minutes. Let's give it up to the fact that the only starter to play heavy minutes tonight, Kevin Huerter, played 36. So bonus, under 30.
Yay!
Keegan, 33.
Hey!
DeMar, 17 because he got hurt. And hopefully that's not a big deal. But I loved how he played tonight. And I thought that's just like, I want to see that more often. Now, of course, things look a little better when you're knocking down threes. And, well, you know, Sacramento, after this 11-game drought where they can't make anything from three, finally have a night where they knock down threes. They were 5 of 9 in the first quarter. They were 4 of 8 from 3 in the second, 2 of 5 in the third, 4 of 6 from downtown in the fourth for 15 of 28. How refreshing was it to see, like, everyone kind of get in on the action?
We said it in the postgame, Deuce. It felt like a different type of win. Not all wins, not all losses are created equal. And this win wasn't just a beam going up in the air. This win was everyone leaving that arena with, like, oh, thank God we needed to see that. We needed to see the ball go through the rim, not only these guys. And we talked about the other night, too, when it comes to the assist numbers, we were like, oh, wow, only 18, you know.
The ball is popping tonight.
The ball,
from the start.
And it's like not only when we saw those 18 assists in the other game were we disappointed, but it's like, oh, well, the ball is not falling through the rim on threes, especially. So, like, now being able to see that allows a whole different type of energy to flow through the entire offense. And I felt like that continued throughout the night.
The one irritating thing about tonight, and I think this game could have been over sooner, were some of the careless turnovers that Sacramento had. They end up with 17 turnovers. That turned into 29 points for the Phoenix Suns, and I felt like that was just kind of keeping them alive. And I thought the Suns early did a great job on the offensive glass. I mean, there was that one possession where they think they got like five offensive rebounds on a possession, which was just a killer. And so the offensive rebounds in this game, Phoenix had 19.
But how many did they have in the first half?
I don't know.
I do. I think it was like 14.
Yes, 14. So they did a much better job in the second half, but that was like a key. They had to get that under control. A second chance points ended up being 18-14. But the Kings, to me, like, I'm so glad that they turned it on when they did late third quarter after the Suns got back into it. Because the way it was headed, I'm like, dude, are you just going to let these guys hang around? Like, they're on the second half of a back-to-back. They are beyond banged up right now. The last thing you want to do is give them easy looks, give them confidence. And the only reason they're in this game right now is because you are gift-wrapping them the ball. Sabonis had seven turnovers. I thought they just had some careless ones, too. It wasn't like, oh, man, this Suns defense is locking them up. Some of it, like, good digs by Phoenix, you know, active hands, being physical. But a lot of it was just kind of sloppiness from the Kings.
Yeah, I agree. You talk about the active hands, but it felt like they weren't being strong enough with the basketball at times. And it wasn't just Sabonis, but Sabonis definitely had the majority of those moments happen to him. What I liked, though, was with all these turnovers, the adversity hit, and it never felt like, again, the Kings wavered or allowed that to just completely take them out of the game.
You know, I think the play that shifted it in the third.
Which one?
It was 70-68 Sacramento. And there was an outlet to Royce O'Neal because he was cherry picking.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. I know what.
And Keegan flies in there, blocks his shot, and then Herter scores on the other end. The Kings end up going, I think, on a 7-0 run after that. Oh. And you felt like the building just popped. It was tonight was so important for them to play well, knock down threes, and make big plays like that. Because they've been playing like shit at home for 2 years. Yeah. And I know that they're not perfect yet. That's why I keep going back to this 5-6 at home. Like, handle your business. Get these fans back engaged. I'm sick and tired of like fans coming to games and being like, oh man, the Kings lost on this team tonight. They're a little shorthanded team. It's like, no, like just play the right way.
Yeah.
Fans want to see the ball popping. They want to see big shots and they want to see defensive plays. And tonight I feel like they got all of that. And that Keegan play, I thought, swung the game back into the Kings' favor.
That's fair. I think you're exactly right with how the crowd reacted to it. It felt different. There was something about these, you know what, Deuce, it all started from even like the half. Like, I feel like there was the kid during the halftime with the cowbell. The crowd was popping for cowbell kid.
I was hearing like the ovation behind us while we're doing the halftime show on NBC, and I look at during the break, I'm like, what? It like, is someone better be like doing something, the craziest thing I've ever seen? I turn the screen, there's a kid just like on the cowbell.
And then he was getting excited because the crowd was getting excited for him. So there was that. And then there was the half court shot.
Someone hit a half court shot tonight.
So he won a car or won something. Yeah. I don't even know. But then it was the plays like this where the crowd would pop as well. And I just felt that home court advantage was there on a Wednesday night. And I don't know. It was a good energy throughout.
And it's, you know, it felt like it was fragile. Like, if tonight had gone bad, I can't imagine. You have bad vibes going into the first NBA Cup game Friday night against Minnesota that we'll talk about.
Hell yeah.
Since we talked about Fox, we talked about these plays. Keegan tonight. Good to see him knock down some shots.
Yes.
But defensively, and this is what, like, I mentioned last podcast when Keegan Murray, I thought, had the worst game of his season. This guy is tasked with some really difficult matchups. And tonight, it was Devin Booker. And man, I mean, Devin Booker, I think, I did hear, like, he's been sick recently. So, okay. And Suns are shorthanded. It's a little easier to check Devin Booker when you don't have KD and Beal. Let's acknowledge all those things.
Yeah.
But the reality is Devin Booker is a bucket, and he can be a problem in this league. No shit. We've seen it over the years. Keegan played excellent defense. I mean, he did not buy on the pump fakes. He stayed disciplined in his stance. He used his length to contest shots. He was physical. He made life so challenging for Devin Booker. Booker ends up in this game with 18 points on 6 of 16 shooting. Did not shoot it effectively. The leading scorer tonight was Okogie, 25. And you're like, man, 25 and 8 for Okogie. What are you doing there? It's like, no. If Josh Okogie is going to beat us by himself, then we tip our cap.
Yeah.
Good night. Okogie made shots, night hustle, blah, blah, blah. But that, like, you'd rather him try to carry the load. The role player, like, he's not used to that. He doesn't want to do that. They did not let Booker get into a rhythm. They made him uncomfortable. It wasn't just Keegan, but I thought Keegan's defense, especially in that second half, was outstanding. And this is why I'm so high on the guy. And I want him to knock down shots consistently. But this version you saw tonight is my favorite version of Keegan Murray. Knocking down threes in the mid-range. Playing good defense. Loved it.
You know, and he only had 4 rebounds. But what I will say, I remember 2 of them just being like flying in there, you know, doing the thing that we've seen Keegan do since the beginning of this season. And still being able to grab those 4 while making his threes and playing defense the way that he played in playing 33 minutes. It's the type of game that you want to see because you feel like, oh, that can be sustainable. Like, and on a night too, that DeRozan and Sabonis are not giving you 20 points, 11 points, 2 points. Obviously DeRozan didn't even get to play in that second half, but my point is, it's like, you just saw the scoring be a little bit even. You saw people being able to step up in different roles and in different ways.
I was on Blue Sky after the game. Devin Booker had a quote. It was, I was locked up. Keegan wouldn't let me out. He wouldn't let me out. I was locked up. Crazy. Insane, right?
How many times more are you gonna use?
I was reading a quote.
Akon. I don't referring, and it's like, what year was that song?
2005. People know it. No,
like they will definitely after tonight. Not Gen Z.
Gen Z is in the Akon. I don't know if you've seen the trend on TikTok. They are talking a lot about Akon.
Really?
Yeah.
Which one? Which song?
Smack that all on the floor and locked up. Yeah.
Really?
No, you idiot! Well, just let me have a moment without trying to, like, oh, you're old. All right?
You did it once.
I know. I was trying to do it in a more clever way this time and seeing if you caught on.
Hey, if you can somehow integrate it again in it being sly and good, I'll give you credit.
I'm over it. I'm okay. Over it. Anyway, I thought I did a great job on Devin Booker. And so, like, you know, I haven't been perusing the chat tonight like last game. I don't know where are the Keegan guys in there.
Oh, he sucks. He needs it.
I just want to make sure. Okay.
Oh,
no, they're not tonight. They're not
tonight.
Damn. Next up, speaking of guys that have gone absolutely pooped on. Look.
Deuce loves redemption.
Well, you know what I like is like Kevin Huerter, we all acknowledge, bad last year.
Yeah.
Bad.
Liability on the defensive end.
He was
wasn't making
missing
the 3.
Shots. Yeah. Like, okay. And I thought, I've mentioned this 100 times. I'd said before the season, I'm like, look, I know people are low on him, but buy his stock because I'm telling you, this guy's a good player. He had the worst year of his career last year. And of course, he's coming back for the shoulder surgery. And you're like, oh, shit. Okay. What's this going to look like? I've been really impressed with Kevin Huerter this year. And
yes.
He came back off the injury, trying to get in the rhythm. And then you also had, like, you got sick. Then he comes back.
Yeah.
Last game against San Antonio, everyone, I mean, he's bad.
Everyone bad. Was. I mean,
whatever. But if you think about what he's been doing, but besides the shot making, can you do other things out there? Kevin Huerter has shifted his mindset, and I really appreciate what he has brought on all facets of the game, from his playmaking, doing a good job using his length and size. He had 3 steals tonight, Morgan. 3 straight games with 3-plus steals.
Wow.
For Kevin Huerter. And then he knocked down shots. And when he's playing like that, like, he's never going to be an all-defensive guy. We know this shit. But what we need from him and what this team needs from him is to be a good team defender. And I think you're seeing a really good version of Keegan Murray, but also Kevin Huerter right now.
How many people are actually going to be an all-defensive defensive guy, like in this league.
I'm just saying sometimes when we talk about these players, we expect perfection. What's the best version
of this
guy?
That's exactly my point. I think sometimes when people talk about so many different guys in this league, they're like, but he can't play defense, but he can't do this, but he can't do this. And it's like, yeah, like there's only a few guys that are going to be two-way guys or going to be perfect in this league. And sometimes there's going to be role players for that reason that just aren't going to be fantastic or great at one thing, but they're going to be able to fill a role. And I think with someone like Kevin Huerter, when you look at his size, you look at his skill set with identifying as a shooter, right? Like that's something that he has been throughout his career, track record has shown, and you're just hoping he can keep finding that consistency again. But then you look on the defensive end, and again, you and I have talked about this since Mike Brown has been here. What can Mike Brown bring out of Kevin Huerter? What can he do? And I feel like we've heard over these years with Mike Brown that players come out always saying like, he made me a better basketball player. He made me a smarter basketball player. And Kevin Huerter right now on the defensive end looks like a more disciplined basketball player. He is engaged and understands what he needs to do almost every single time down. There's still the lulls and the mistakes, and obviously because he's not the most athletic.
Exactly.
But at the same time, he uses his smarts and his effort. And that alone in a team defense and then being able to be shadowing the basketball, being active with your hands, it just takes a different level of effort when you're not the most athletic out there, and he's doing it this year.
And I think the Kings overall this year have had some nice defensive moments as a team. I think they entered tonight 12th in a defensive rating. And one thing, like Luke Laux, who took over the defense this year for Jordy Fernandez, who took the Nets job. Shout out to the Nets for playing tough, by the way. The one like kind of shift they did is they are like playing gaps more. They're having guys, and they're still 12th after tonight, by the way.
Okay.
So you see a lot of guys in help positions sometimes, and they're swiping down, they're digging. I mean, you're seeing the Kings really good, strong with deflection. Steal numbers have been pretty solid. And it's not just like Fox and Ellis. Like DeRozan's had some really nice moments on that. And Huerter, as we just mentioned, and Keegan as well. What was problematic the first time they played the Suns, and something we talked about, was the Suns attempted, it ended up being 16 corner threes. And a lot of them were like good looks.
Oh, my God.
And that's where it's like you have to stay engaged defensively and limit paint penetration, because the help's going to be there. And if you get blown by and your guy's forced to help off the corner, a lot of these NBA guys can make the right pass. It's fine if help is there and has to help a little bit, but you want to allow your help to help off corner and recover to contest the shot.
Yes.
And if you notice tonight, some of the looks that Phoenix got in the corners, they'd still got corner looks, but a lot of them were contested because the Kings were much more engaged on the defensive side of the ball.
Agreed. The engagement, the rotations, the communication, it all looked like it was there. You and I talked to Trey Lyles after the game about the defense being locked in. And I was like, what's one of the biggest differences? And he's like, pride. Like, we're just taking a lot more pride into it. And it's what I love is that you get rewarded so much as a basketball player when you're doing the right things defensively. And when I say what you get rewarded with that feeling of like, yeah, let's effing go. It just brings a different type of energy. And when the team feels that type of energy, it translates on the offensive end as well.
After tonight, by the way, the Kings are tied for 6th in offensive rating. And again, that's with them being such a shitty 3-point shooting team.
Yeah.
We talked about in the pre-show, Sacramento no longer last in 3-point shooting.
Give me a hell yeah.
Yes.
Wow, with tonight, they soar up to 29th in the NBA.
Give me a hell yeah.
Big time shit. Going back to Huerter for a second, because we talk about the defense, but one other element I've enjoyed about his game over the years, and he did last year when he was really struggling from three, but it was just, again, he was in his own head so often. Tonight, he was 7 of 9 in the paint. He was attacking at the rim and getting floaters and layups. Like seeing him be that aggressive, he had 14 points in the paint. He finished with 22 in the game. So I just like that element of his game
well. And he's capable of it. And that's the thing that sometimes bugs me when some of these guys aren't being super aggressive. I understand different matchups, like you gotta like give and take, But at the same time, when you are not making your outside shots, which fortunately this team was tonight, but when you are not, you got to make sure you're doing other things like that, especially when that is in your game, when you are capable. And there was a moment where he like either the ball fumbled in his hands or whatever, and he was up in the air fumbling it and still had the control and made the layup. And my point to that is I feel like they can do so much more in the paint. And I say they because it's not just De'Aaron that needs to. Oh, no. What?
Got some breaking news at this hour. We did give you the numbers earlier that Sacramento jumped from 30th to 29th in three-point percentage. But a new number that we can report to you at this hour confirmed. Sacramento jumps from 28th in bench scoring to 26th.
Give me a hell yeah!
What is the thing the Kings said before the season? Annapurna?
Oh, shit. Climbing. Annapurna.
We're at the bottom of the mountain. We're Annapurna. Starting to climb. We're starting to climb. Anyway, they go from 28 to 26. What a jump to the Sacramento Kings.
Climbing together.
In all seriousness, the bench tonight, Morgan, scored 46 points.
Let's go.
We had this conversation during the game.
Yeah.
Mike Brown was really forced to play the bench tonight, right? Like, you're down Malik Monk, and then DeMar DeRozan, you know, he leaves the game with lower back tightness. You never want to see guys get hurt.
No.
You never want to. Duh, no shit. But in a weird way, I think this was huge for the bench to get some run and get comfortable out there. They had their most success tonight. And even if it's against a shorthanded team, I don't care. I think people like Trey Lyles needed to get some extended run and knock down some shots. Jordan McLaughlin was the most productive we've seen so far,
it's
right?
It's not weird to say that. All it did was force Mike Brown to go to his bench and utilize his bench deuce. And that has been something that we've talked about all season long. He knows that his minute distribution needs to be different. He can't run these guys to the ground, his starting unit to the ground. But he hasn't trusted his bench unit. And I get it. There's going to be matchups. You're like, is Jordan McLaughlin too small? Is he going to be this and that and point it out on the defensive end? Who gives a shit? The guy works hard and can get a shot at the rim no matter what size is in there and can shoot from the outside. So like you got to make sure that you're trusting these guys because if they are only getting these small moments, when they're in desperate need, they're not going to get the experience and the development they need with the rest of the team.
Just about 15 minutes for Jordan McLaughlin tonight. Keon Ellis played 25 minutes in this game. 22 for Trey Lyles, 15 for Dougie McBuckets. Well, can we call him McBuckets right now?
Doug McDermott.
He's Doug McDermott. He's Douglas McDermott until he starts making threes. He starts making threes, you get McBuckets back.
Oh.
Was he 0 for 4 or 0 for 3 from downtown tonight?
Yeah. Yeah. And look, I mean, even in his minutes, it's like you have. We said this kind of the other night, or I did. I was like, you have to do your effing job. You have to. And you saw some other guys step up, so it's okay. But for Doug, he's got to make sure that he feels good, even if he's getting only 15, 10 minutes.
We were just talking about Trey Lyles. It was so big for him to knock down some shots. He ends up with 13 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, 5 of 7 shooting. He was also 3 of 5 from downtown in this game, so that was significant. Morgan asked him about the three-point shooting after the game.
And speaking of Trey Lyles, let's go to him right now. He's in the hallway standing by. And, Trey, you look at tonight's game, and you see the ball going through the hoop. Oh. Threes were falling. It was great to see for you guys. 15 made. What felt so good about that tonight?
We got to shoot and shoot around today, so we've been on Coach Brown about that, letting us shoot a little bit more. So I think that worked in our favor tonight. But, I think we all know Sharks going to start to fall for us, and tonight they did that for us. So we just got to continue to go out there and be confident and shooting the ball when we're open and making the right play, and that's what we did tonight.
So there's Trey Lyles with Deuce Mason and Morgan Ruggan after the game. What's your last name?
What is that? You take NyQuil?
I think I'm just loose right now. I'm feeling good about what
we're doing. Deuce is loose. Deuce is loose.
Yeah, that's what a Kings win will do sometimes. I saw someone mention, do you think DeMar DeRozan's issue with lower back tightness is over usage? I mean, I don't think so. I mean, the guy did lead the NBA in minutes last season.
Yeah.
But he also leads the NBA minutes right now. but yeah, I mean, I think ideally, and to your point, though, is like we talk about running guys into the ground. This is the stuff we talk about. Like when you look at the minutes in the NBA coming into this game tonight, oh, who's leading the NBA in minutes? You're going, wait. DeMar? Okay. Who's number two? Keegan? Oh, okay. This is awkward. Number three, De'Aaron? Oh, it can't be number four, Kings. Number four, Sabonis. Yeah, when four Kings are at the top of NBA minutes per game, not ideal when it's November 13th. You know, this is not like game. We're not in the playoffs right now. We're shrinking things. So you hope that a game like tonight, okay, the bench gains some confidence and Mike's like, okay, go out there and do your thing and build from this so you're not playing guys so many minutes. He mentioned he doesn't want to do it, but these guys have to come out and contribute and be ready to go.
Tell everyone the fifth.
The fifth what?
In minutes in the league.
Trae Young?
Yeah.
Okay.
I just felt like it, like you're kind of like leaving everyone hanging.
Oh, did I need the top five? Sorry. I'm sorry, you know, if you're waiting. You didn't say the fifth.
I would honestly be curious. I'd be like, well, then who's fifth? Like, yeah. What does that really mean? Like, what can you compare to? And it's like, yeah. That's what you're comparing to. A lot of minutes. Yes, a lot of minutes.
Yes. What else from this game that I want to talk about?
I know for me.
Yeah, go.
Or I think that's what I wanted. I wanted to talk about the offensive rebounds and that one possession early on.
Where there's five of them, yeah.
For the Phoenix Suns, when there was five of them. And you and I were like, okay, if the Kings lose this game, we're going back to this possession. And because what it felt, they were lucky bounces. But then on the third, the fourth, and the fifth, it was like, you're giving up each time, kind of like, oh, well, they're going to get this bucket. Then they're going to get this bucket. No, make sure you stay engaged, stay with it. And I thought throughout this game, of course, there were a lot of lucky bounces. But at the same time, I was getting frustrated that I just felt like the Kings weren't doing a good enough job putting a body on someone.
Well, it kept them in the game. I was frustrated with the turnovers and that. Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, yeah, I'm totally with you. Oh, man.
What?
I don't love to do this all the time, but...
You never do this.
For the third time tonight, we have an update. I just gave you the list. The Kings don't have anyone in the top five in minutes per game after tonight. Number six, Keegan Murray. Wow. Number seven, De'Aaron Fox. DeMar DeRozan has dropped to 14.
Well, because he was hurt.
And Domantas Sabonis after tonight? 18th in minutes per game. Thanks for changing the stat. We needed that. I was sick as soon as I saw it the other night. A little concerned.
Yeah, I love that it's not a talking point anymore. That's
good.
Can we talk about the next person then? Yeah. Domantas Sabonis. Because in his 30 minutes, if I told you that he only shot four shots, or only attempted four shots,
I'd be pissed saying he fouled out.
Okay. And three of them were three-pointers.
I'd be like, okay, that's funny. You're funny.
And then he had two free throws and no points in the paint.
I'd say he got hurt.
And he didn't. He played 30 minutes and still finished with a double-double.
That might be one of the most unique Sabonis games in history, because the guy took one shot in the paint tonight. Morgan just mentioned the 3 of 4. His three makes tonight were from three-point land. He had one where he literally, I think, was open for like 7 minutes. I went to the bathroom, came back, and he was like just getting ready to shoot it too. I was like, what are the Suns doing? They're not guarding him? It was crazy. But it's with him, I am so happy that he's in a spot where he is, you know, comfortable shooting the three this year. And for him to, I think he's at 44%.
Wow.
It's good. That's great. It's outstanding for him, right? He's not taking eight a game, but, you know, he's taking 2.3 per game, and to knock down three tonight, that was good. That was great.
It was great. And I mean, it ended up being his points. And on a game where if the Kings lost, we would have looked at something like that. Like, Why wasn't he attempting more shots? DeRozan was out half the game. But it's because you had so many people contributing. Plus, you had De'Aaron going off and Kevin Huerter getting his.
Well, some would say he would have had more shots if he would take care of the effing ball.
Oh, that's true.
Seven turnovers.
That was the worst thing about tonight.
My goodness.
And they were so annoying.
Some of them. Well, there was one where he was getting doubled on the baseline.
He's
and
getting
fouled. He was at one point, like, I think it was a Kogi, was giving him a noogie. And, like, they were watching it, like, I'm like,
they're like, that's so cute and funny.
Yeah, that's not a foul. You're just like,
Oh, wait, let me show you.
That wasn't that hard.
That, again, you don't understand your strength. My turn. They were doing this.
That doesn't even hurt.
Then why would you keep pushing my hand away?
Just let me have a joke.
No, it doesn't feel good.
Anyway.
Those aren't fun.
He was a little sloppy with the ball tonight. And that's back-to-back games. I think he's got 13 turnovers in the last two games. There's a couple ones where he's just indecisive in the paint. And it's like, come on. Let's lock in. Keon had a couple tonight. I'm like, Keon, can't be having three turnovers, Keon. Like, be strong with the ball. Like,
yeah.
Be aware when someone's passing you the ball. So that was probably my biggest complaint tonight was the turnovers.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And again, for having these turnovers, them not be completely deflating, I think that is so important to look at as well. You just mentioned Keon Ellis. That was something someone before the game that I had mentioned, like, okay, bench production, what can he add?
He had some nice takes tonight,
and he had some really nice takes. He made a three, but even with, I remember there was like one take he had where he still was hesitating. It was like, no, like be you. You're definitely someone who knows how to play basketball at this level, knows how to score at this level. So like, you gotta be you. And I was glad to see that he was a little bit more aggressive. But he ended up not even being my favorite thing off the bench.
Who was?
Trey Lyles.
Trey Bay.
Yeah. Trey Bay.
No, that was good for him.
It was a really good game for him to see the ball go through the bucket.
Even the guys who got on really late, the Joneses, the three Joneses, like Mace and Isaac, Colby, I think was in there at the end. Colby hit a three. I was happy for him. I've been watching him before games, and you know, with a lot of those guys who don't play, the younger guys.
Yeah.
They play like games of like 2-on-2 or 3-on-3. I was watching today. I think it was like Mason and Isaac, and they had like a third like coach on there with them playing Colby and Orlando Robinson.
Okay,
and another coach, and Colby was knocking down some threes. And I'm
hell
like,
yeah,
okay, like you know, that's something, an area of his game where you're just like, dude, if you can't make threes, you're not making free throws, you're just not going to last in this league. And I'm not saying it means anything, but I'm like, it's good for him to like get in an NBA game, even if it's late, and just knock down a three.
The 15th one.
I said on pregame tonight, and I said before pregame, I said, I have a vision tonight. The Kings are going to hit 15 threes. It's happening. And when Colby hit that 15 three, I said, what'd I tell you, Morgan? That wasn't a prediction. That was a spoiler. Basketball mind.
He did say that. He really did.
We got more of the podcast coming up. We still have to get to our player of the game. We still have to get to our moment of the game. It's back, baby. Moment of the game. And we got to look ahead to the Kings NBA Cup game against the struggling big time Minnesota T-Pops.
Don't get cocky.
I'm not getting cocky.
But
just
you sound like you're getting cocky.
Whoa.
You sound like you're getting cocky.
It's almost as if
making
a crazy trade right before training camp when you made the conference finals, not ideal. Anyway, we got more of the podcast coming up in a second. We should mention that tonight we're presented by our friends over at Mother Restaurant in Sacramento.
Check out their menu
at mothersacramento.com. But most importantly, go to them in person at 2319 K Street, Morgan Reagan.
Yeah, and you say go to them in person. You can also order online. I do that all the time. But then I always pick up my food because I love going in there. One, it's at the best location. But two, all throughout November, we've already had listeners do this. You can go bring in a photo of your grandma, your mother, whatever, whoever, dead or alive, doesn't matter. I mean, hopefully you're not just lying. That would be kind of funny. Either way, at the end of your meal, you get 50% off your meal just by showing a photo of your mother or grandmother. It's just a little treat to our Deucemo listeners.
If you don't have a relationship with your mom, you're like, I don't like my mom. bringing a picture of your favorite television mom.
That would actually be a good one too. So either way, though, think about it. You're going to save 50% off your entire bill.
Who's your favorite TV mom in history, huh? Yeah, think about that one. Think about that.
My favorite TV mom.
You can answer coming up.
Okay. Well, then let me just finish this. So make sure you go in there, but also too, if you need help with Thanksgiving, they do Thanksgiving catering too. I will be ordering a whole bunch of dishes for my family.
Yeah. Check out Mother. That's at 2319 K Street in Sacramento. We're also presented tonight by our friends over at Golden One Credit Union.
We are one
with Golden One. It also pays to go to Golden One if you are a Kings fan. We got a QR code on the screen. Scan that. You can see their range of products and services to help start your financial journey tonight. Also, what about the perks, Morgan? How about up to 50% off Kings home games through Golden One's online discount ticket portal?
Yeah, there's so many different perks. And, you know, when you just raise up that Golden One member card and you're like, hey, I'm a member. I'm sitting up in the second bowl at a game. And then Scott Freshour goes, you, because you have that card. Come down here and get treated like a king.
Yeah, that's how you win as one. Check out goldenone.com. Also presented tonight by our friends over at Northwest Exteriors.
Oh my gosh. If you need windows, if you need an HVAC system, you know where to go. I know the winter is coming. It's starting to get cold outside. Even though the beam is lit, it's not keeping us warm. It's just a purple light up in the sky. You got to make sure that you have all the right things in your home. And I'm not even joking you. This podcast room used to be so freezing at this time of year. And just because of the windows, it made a big difference. And now the HVAC system is also making even a bigger difference.
Get new windows for the fall.
For the fall. Till the rain drops.
Oh. I didn't know where you're going to go with that.
Okay.
It was explicit. Anyway, check out their showroom. It's awesome. NorthwestExteriors.com is the website. And right now they got a window buyback offering to give you $109 window buyback offer. Also, they will donate $20 to the Warrior Foundation Freedom Station for each window purchase. That foundation supports veterans. Offer expires December 29, 2024. So check out their website at northwestexteriors.com because Morgan and Reagan, we like to tell you they are
simply the best. Trust Northwest.
Good job.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound packs of juicy Kroger red, green, or black seedless grapes for $3.99 with your card and a digital coupon. Then get 1-pound packs of flavorful Private Selection 80% lean Angus ground chuck for $4.99 each with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, Morgan Reagan.
Yeah, my favorite TV mom.
You have one?
You know, I grew up on Marge Simpson.
I thought don't you do a Marge Simpson?
Well, right now it sounds like I could. I don't think, was that okay?
Yeah.
Homie. Whoa, that was really good.
It's pretty good.
Homer? Whoa! I've got the voice right now.
Relax. I was like, hey, that's not bad. You're acting like you're doing like a perfect impersonation.
It's the NyQuil. It's
strong 6 out of 10.
I thought it was pretty good. Whatever.
Oh, man. What's your moment of the game tonight? Chat? I'd like to ask you guys in the chat, what's the moment of the game? I have mine, too. Tell me yours first.
I forget how it started.
Tell me yours.
Okay.
Way too many singing for me tonight. What's going on?
Like, you're just picking words and you're shoving it to any song that you feel like. Tell me yours when Trey Lyles was in transition.
That's a good one. The Trey Lyles taking a charge and sprinting back, calling for the ball, sprints back by Plumlee, the outlet to him. He finishes at the rim.
Perfect. Perfect pass, by the way.
Yes.
Was it De'Aaron?
You know what? I think it was De'Aaron.
Okay.
Everyone in the chat has mine, and I agree.
What?
It's the Keegan chase down.
Yeah.
That was a pivotal moment. Huge. In the game. It's 2-point game. Royce O'Neal doing something I despise in pickup basketball. When I see players cherry picking and they score, I don't even acknowledge it.
Ugh.
I get irritated. That was really irritated. And you know what? Keegan was like me. He was irritated. So he sprinted his ass back down there. So yeah, I'm blocking that shot. And he blocked it. Chase down block leads to a Kevin Huerter bucket.
Yeah, I'm blocking that shot.
Okay, so we're going Keegan, chase down.
Okay.
What, you is that you want the tray charge and lay up on the other end on that?
Yeah.
No. Nah.
Then why are you even asking me?
The people have spoken.
Okay.
My goodness. Royce chased down Royce O'Neal Huerter.
Tell me yours when Keegan had the chase down block.
Yeah. Well, let's put it in back in our box. I'm so glad we brought this back. Second moment of the season.
So glad.
With all of our other moments from last year that we never actually went over. But it's all good. Keeping this forever. And never, and
you'll stay in my jar, and I will. Okay.
What's wrong with us tonight? All right, next thing on the agenda tonight, guys in the chat, everybody in the chat, who was the player of the game? I had three options: Keegan Murray,
okay,
who had a good game tonight, 17 points, 4 rebounds. He had that big block, 7 of 11 shooting, 3 for 5 from downtown. Also, De'Aaron Fox, he was a candidate for player of the game. He had 29 points, 10 assists, 6 rebounds, his fourth double-double of the season, 11 of 17 shooting, 1 of 2 from downtown. And the last candidate, Red Velvet, 22 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 steals, and he did it on 9 for 16 shooting, including 2 of 6 from downtown.
I know mine.
Yeah.
Kevin Huerter.
Kevin Huerter.
Don't hurt him.
Well, the voting has been cast right now. Almost 600 votes. Kevin Huerter is leading the way with 45%.
Let's go, Kev.
Let's see what Deuce Mason thought. Yeah, it's Kevin Huerter.
Kevin!
It's Red Velvet, dude. I mean, like, we just read his stats. Fantastic. He was simply the best player of the game presented by Northwest Exteriors. Check out northwestexteriors.com. But yeah, I thought he was really strong tonight, and on a game in which you lose DeRozan for the second half, it's so nice to have someone else that can go get you 20-plus points and make an impact in every way, from rebounding to assists to steals, deflections, points in the paint, putting pressure on the defense. I thought he was really strong in this game.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I just thought even the way that he – it's not even about him necessarily setting the tone defensively, but I thought him digging right away in the first couple of plays, you know, being active on Devin Booker, whoever. He's just, you can tell he's understanding what he can do with his size and his body. In
two of his steals were on Booker.
Effort. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and we talk about what Keegan did. I thought in the first half, he had some really strong moments on Devin Booker. Yeah,
I'm with you.
Someone was asking about deflections tonight. Let's see if it's been updated yet. Deflections. Yeah. Kevin Huerter had 5 deflections.
Holy shit.
Hold on one moment. Kevin Huerter had 5 deflections. Holy shit. He had 16 games ago. The Kings as a team tonight had 10. So yeah. he had 5 of the 10. He had half of them. De'Aaron Fox had 3 deflections in this game. Keon had 1. DeMar DeRozan had 1. Wow. But 5 deflections.
Yeah. The activity, the way that he is shadowing the basketball, the way that he's keeping his hands up in the passing lane, just a different type of effort has stepped up. Understanding how to stay on the floor. And he deserved to be the player of the game.
Well, next up for the Sacramento Kings, whatever you have, Morgan Reagan.
Hopefully I'm fine. This goes away.
A matchup with the Minnesota Timberwolves. And this is intriguing. We saw them opening night in Sacramento. Minnesota got the win. Sacramento had a lull in, like, what, the third quarter. And I mean, still a good game, but Julius Randle was just a monster in that game. And it seems like he's just a Kings killer. So Minnesota comes to town for an NBA Cup game. And let me just tell you, from an NBA Cup perspective, this is a monster game. Well, yeah. Every game matters in the NBA Cup as you try to chase Las Vegas and a chance to go win an NBA Cup. Minnesota's already lost a cup game. They had their first cup game the other day against the Portland Trail Blazers. They lost that. Minnesota all of a sudden has lost 3 in a row. When they lost to Portland the other night, I was like, oh, they played Portland again? That's going to be tough for Portland.
Yeah.
Portland beat them tonight.
That's
so Minnesota right now is
angry.
Well, I mean, we're going to learn a lot about them because I was never eager to see Minnesota. If they were winners of five in a row, we'd be like, oh, that's scary. They've lost three in a row. That seems kind of scary. And they lost to a team that many think just not good, right?
Yeah.
Minnesota was kind of built on defense last year. You know, like they were known for being a good defensive team.
Sure.
And as it stands right now.
Protect the paint.
Okay, they're still like ninth.
That's not bad.
But they've had more miscues lately. They haven't been as locked in. And tonight, they don't even score 100 points. They lose 106-98. They shoot 39%, 7 of 39 from downtown. Ant was 10 of 25. Randall, 7 of 15. I'm really intrigued to see what this looks like. Minnesota is 6-6 with three losses in a row. One to Miami. That was a really tough finish at home. And then the last two against Portland. What are you expecting to see in that NBA Cup game? Do you think there's going to be a little more energy in the building for that game?
I do. I think, I mean, you just think about someone like Anthony Edwards. It's the same thing I say about any team with a player that can just be that guy. And I think someone like Steph Curry has shown it consistently for so many years of his career. Like, you can't count him out. Anthony Edwards is obviously not there. But he's also someone that it can be so scary when shit is on for him. Just as a competitor, even. You know, I think he does a great job of making teams think twice and being a deflator in so many different ways. So if they have that type of Anthony Edwards who's pissed off, sick of losing, big cup game, you're just going to have to play him honest and work on him and just not let the rest of the team beat you. And by the way, when I say the rest of the team, it's not like they just have the unknowns. They have Mike Conley. They have Randall. They have Gobert. They have Naz Reid coming off the bench. Like, they have Dante DiVincenzo. Like, I always forget even his addition. Now, he didn't have a good game tonight. He only had
one of 10.
Yeah.
But Conley was out tonight. I'm trying to...
Oh.
He missed tonight's game, but I don't know if that was just a one-time thing because he played the game before that. And Dante DiVincenzo.
Wait, he didn't miss tonight's game?
He did miss tonight's game. Oh. 0 minutes, well, 0 points.
What was the look if you go back to the box score?
You're looking at...
Oh, sorry. You had the night before.
Deuce has it. No, I didn't. I had the Kings box score, Kings T-Wolves box score.
That's what it was. I was like, why is he in the starting unit?
Also, Dante... There was so much excitement about him. He's struggling big time. He is shooting 36% and 32.9% from three on 7 attempts per game. So
he'll go off on the Sacramento.
Maybe last time he had 9 points against Sacramento. Yeah. In that first matchup, it was 117-115. Minnesota got the win. Randall, 33 points on 13 of 17. He knocked down 5 of 6 from three.
Damn.
Ant had 32, but he did on 10 of 24, 5 of 15 from 3. Sacramento was led in scoring by DeMar DeRozan that game. He had 26 in his debut. Wasn't super efficient. Keegan had 23 and 11, so bonus 24 and 8. Did not have a double-double in that game. Kind of crazy. De'Aaron Fox, only 15 points. He was 6 of 14 shooting. Malik Monk had 17 off the bench. Kevin Huerter only played 20 minutes, had 2 points. So, I don't know. It's... Minnesota is facing some early season adversity. There's a lot of talk. They had high expectations, right? Like, they made the conference finals. They feel like they made a move that was going to make them better. And so far, it hasn't. And I think their fans are antsy. I think there's probably a little sense of panic right now within the organization about the start. And when you make a big trade like that, trading a foundational piece, and it looks like this. But let's not be naive about this. They could easily come in and kick your ass if you're not ready to go.
Easily.
And we don't know DeMar's status at this point.
Yeah, which that part definitely sucks. But how great is it, though, that the Kings have with someone like DeMar that if one of their main guys are out, you're not worried. You're more worried about what's going to be their style, especially when they're still trying to figure out who they are with him on the floor. And he can get you a bucket when you need it. But I think at the same time, it is so nice having multiple guys that are at a different level, and that have been so dependable. So anyway, it's just, it's nice to actually have that on the roster.
It's going to be fun to see that game.
Yeah,
I think the energy is going to be great. You're going to have the cool court. I thought the NBA Cup atmospheres in general are just fun. Last night, watching the NBA Cup games.
Oh.
Clay's return to San Francisco last night. I mean, it was cool, but it was also like frightening. Taking a look at the NBA standings real fast.
Yeah.
The West. My goodness. The freaking West. We knew it was going to be tough, but right now OKC's 10-2, hanging tight without Chet, who's not going to be back anytime soon. The number two seed, Golden State Warriors at 9-2, and they looked really impressive to finish things out last night against Dallas, where Steph Curry absolutely took over. And, you know, I've been slow on Golden State. I think I said before the season to you, Morgan, that you can make a serious case that a team who won 46 games last year with the Draymond drama, the Klay contract thing and his mood that was hanging over them,
yeah,
the Wiggins, like, personal stuff he was dealing with his father's health, some injuries along the way, they still managed to win 46 games out of that.
Sure.
So now, Klay gone, some new pieces in, Wiggins in a much better spot, Draymond's on his best behavior to start the season, and Steph is still Steph. They look frightening to me right now. And I'm not saying like championship level, but why they're so frightening to me is because they were aggressive trying to get Markkanen over the offseason. They were aggressive trying to get Paul George. I think the Golden State Warriors have a move up their sleeve because they understand the window could be fading with Steph.
There's being real,
you know, it's time. He's still great. If they make a big swing, we could be talking about them as front runners in a wide open West this year. I think their speed, their shooting, their like depth, the pace they play, it's really impressive.
And it goes, I mean, so much credit also goes to someone like Steve Kerr. You know, I think over the years he's like him and his coaching staff have been talked about, like, they don't always develop the young guys, but what I will tell you, he knows how to work with what he has. Even if he has a 11-12 man rotation, like, he knows how to get the most out of them. But also, when you're playing with someone like Steph Curry, who just, he can make the worst player on a team look so much better. And he sets a standard with the way that they move without the basketball. You see Buddy Hield.
Buddy's been amazing. It just like watching him last night, his conditioning, his ability to just sprint nonstop little and then catch and shoot players. For three. Yeah, no, he is. And we've always joked about that with Steph. It's like, the guy doesn't get tired. He's a soccer player. And, you know, right now, Kerr is playing so many guys. Well, dude, that depth, like, they could have some trade pieces now that could intrigue teams. And do they throw in a future draft pick? And who knows who they're able to land? But for them to get off to this type of start, beating some really good teams, they beat OKC. Even though Chet went down that game, they won in Boston. Boston was shorthanded. It doesn't matter. Boston's still a tough place to play. They've had some really impressive wins. And then they come home in a tough game against Dallas, and they win. And they're 9-2 now. So, I'm really impressed with what they've done. I was trying to think of what other point I was going to make about them because you talked about Buddy, blah, blah, blah. Oh, with Steve Kerr.
Yeah.
Steve Kerr's coaching staff has taken some hits the last couple of years, right? Going back to when he lost Mike Brown, he just lost Kenny Atkinson. And like, he totally retooled his coaching staff, which was smart because he needed some fresh perspective, some different eyes. And to add Terry Stotts, who was always an underrated coach to me, good offensive mind. And then Jerry Stackhouse, who has experience coaching
and he's in the collegiate level. Coordinator, too.
And Stackhouse also, like, played the league.
Yeah.
Like, I think that was important to add to his staff. So I say that to be like, all right, like, I don't know. I'm not going to say at the moment, like, hey, they're serious championship contenders. I don't think they're going to stay this hot. But I think they have a move left, and that's what scares me.
Yeah. Be scared for a move. But also be scared that, like, with a roster like this, that they are still showing what type of team, what type of basketball they can play. I think that's what's been the most fascinating thing when you analyze them in the offseason. You're like, this is going to be a year. Wow, they lost out on this trade and didn't do this. And Steph's probably feeling a certain way. Steph's feeling effing great right now. I mean, and he had his little night-night moment against his old buddy, Splash Brother, Klay Thompson, last.
When Klay had scored 8 in the quarter, in the fourth, I'm like, dude, is Klay going to win this shit? This is what an epic comeback. And then Steph went, no. I'm the captain here. I'm the captain now.
That's what. Yeah, no, I get it. Oh, I like that.
I would
have
had that on my call last night.
And yeah. Steph says, I'm the captain now.
Night from the darkest seas of all the land.
Also, just standings wise, if you're into looking at early season standings, Sacramento at 7-5, tied with the Memphis Grizzlies.
There you go.
They're currently in the eighth spot. Separation between 8-1 is just 3 games. The Lakers won again tonight. They've won 3 in a row. They're 7-4. Houston 8-4. Denver 7-3. Denver had some ugly games. They had a fight in some tough overtime conditions, but they've kind of settled in, and Jokic is, I don't even know what else to say about this guy. I mean, we said, oh, he's going to keep the Nuggets relevant. He is unbelievable. His number, I mean, every night putting up massive numbers. So the West is fun. It's going to be challenging, and I hope the Kings can build here with this stretch coming up, get back in the thick of things, and maybe make a move down the road.
Yeah.
Before we leave, and I know you're like, hey, I need to go night-night because NyQuil. I did want to mention a couple of NBA notes tonight.
Oh, yeah.
That Victor guy after killing the Kings the other night.
What's his name again?
Victor Wembanyama.
Oh, that guy.
50 points tonight in a win over the Wizards, 139-130.
How many threes?
50 points. 6 rebounds, 3 blocks, 2 assists. He did on 18 of 29 shooting. The guy was 8 of 16 from 3. 8 threes for Victor tonight. Do we understand how troubling that is if you live outside San Antonio? That a 7'4 guy is launching 16 threes at a game and knocking down 8 of them. And he pulls up like, this isn't like, oh, he's catching and shooting from the corner. Oh, this is great stuff. The guy's bringing the ball up and launching from the logo. Like, what do you do?
I don't know the answer. I mean, you could say you get up in him and, like, you know, make it more difficult for him when he's putting the ball on the floor. But
Jordan Poole had 42 in the loss for the Wizards, by the way. Ooh. But that wasn't the biggest scoring night of the night.
What was?
The Milwaukee Bucks get 59 points from Giannis. He had 59, 14 rebounds, 7 assists, 21 of 34, 16 of 17 at the free throw line. A
lot of free throws.
Those pesky Pistons coming off an impressive overtime victory over Miami in the NBA Cup game last night.
Fun game.
Went to overtime, but ultimately lost. You know, shout out to the Pistons. They're playing tough. They got some interesting young talent. That Heat game was insane, right?
Well,
how about the breakdowns by Miami?
The breakdowns, but then the breakdown by Eric Spoelstra.
I include him in that. All right, we're in this close game, right?
Yeah.
All of a sudden, Miami's got 6 players on the floor. And like they have to, hey, Khalil Ware, rookie, get out. Then there's a breakdown. Cade throws a lob to Jalen Duren.
Sideline out of bounds.
You're like, are you kidding me? Double OT. And Spoelstra is heated. Calls a timeout. They don't have any timeouts left. Technical foul. And Pistons get the ball. What a way to lose.
It was
a way to lose.
And I love what Spoelstra said after the game. He's like, basically, I've been doing this for 17 years. It was such a mental mistake on my part. Man. I feel so bad. And it's just, it's so true. Like someone at his level does not make those type of mistakes. And for it to actually happen in a cup game too, it just added the drama. It was a fun end to that game.
The Bucks with that win over the Pistons tonight soar up to 4-8 on the season.
Wow. There you go.
Make a prediction. Do you think Giannis is on the Bucks after the trade deadline? Is Giannis,
I hope he is,
on the Bucks after the season? Like,
yeah, you know, because I was going to say, during the offseason, I think it just depends on where they end up. But I'm just going to.
I know it's funny.
It's so early.
4-8 in the East. Do you get home court advantage in the East for that? Like 4-8 in the East. They're like, dude, I don't know, man. Could they push the Celtics?
I think it could be something that happens like off season, but
I think it really just depends on if they're able to turn this around. I think if it continues this up and down nature where they're just like scuffling and they're like well below 500, I think you're going to hear the murmurs, and like that's where you get worried about, like, again, Golden State.
Well, that's the OKC, number one team. I mostly like, think of Golden State.
OKC though has like the they have like a shit ton of picks. Yeah. You know what I mean? That's where they have the and some young talent.
I was going to say they have both. Yeah. Like OKC could,
some people have mentioned the Nets as a sleeper.
But here's my other thing. Like I could picture a team like Golden State as to what now them actually having like the assets to do it is a different story, but like them wanting to go in that direction, you know, toward the end of Steph's career, yeah. all the things, like I get that. With OKC, I go, is Giannis really in that next direction of what you, when I say what you need, I just go, does he make your style of basketball?
I mean, it makes you different, but if you have, like, you think about what they already have and defensively, and then his you game. Add him.
I know.
And you, if you don't give up Chet, yeah, I mean, it's frightening. You know it's crazy. Like, imagine if you had, I know Chet's not healthy. If you had Chet and Giannis up front, yeah. with Chet's ability to stretch the floor and be long, like, and you have those on-ball defenders, and then you're going to give up, like, Hartenstein in the deal and all your picks and, like, salary to match, and maybe you have to sacrifice someone like Jalen Williams. I know that sounds crazy.
I need to know what type of teammate he is, too. You know, that's the other thing. Yeah. If I knew all those things, it'd be easier for me to be like, oh, yeah, of course that's the direction that they would go. But I feel like for a team like Golden State, it's a no-brainer.
Some final thoughts tonight. My first one.
Yeah.
We found out news today about Greg Popovich. It was revealed he had a mild stroke. The Spurs put that announcement out. They expect him to make a full recovery, but as anyone has seen someone or has had a loved one deal with the stroke, we also know it's process, right? Uh-huh. And it takes a lot of time. And so, number one, like, Pop has always been one of my favorite coaches, but people too. And you just hope for the best. It sucks, you know, when you hear these stories. So I don't know. Thoughts and positive vibes to the icon Greg Popovich.
Yeah, he's such an important part to the NBA family for many more ways than just one in what he does on the court. So I'm with you on that. And we're all thinking about him.
Yeah. Hope he gets back soon, but also take your time, dude. Like, just get better.
Yeah.
But it's just like, you know, it's got to shake a team too. Although, like, Victor did drop 50 tonight.
That's for you, coach.
So, anyway, well wishes to Pop. Last thing for me, I guess, just let's enjoy the NBA Cup. You know, last year I think there was a cool buzz. I think it surprised people. And I think it's a Friday night game. Minnesota in town. I think people are going to be pretty amped for this game. And I just hope the Kings, it's not like a letdown performance for Sacramento.
I'm with you. I'm excited for it either way. I'm excited for the first NBA Cup game. I'm excited for Friday night basketball. It always feels big. And I'm excited for all of you to be back here on that Friday night.
One last thing I want to mention. I don't know how often you guys use social media. You guys connect with us on YouTube. We appreciate it. And when we're done with this, I'd appreciate you guys drop comments after, because it just helps our channel grow, just like the thumbs up and subscribing and all that stuff. But we've been kind of playing around with this new app called Blue Sky, which for all intents and purposes is kind of like what old Twitter used to be like, kind of serves as that. Yeah. And it's a little different. There's like no algorithm, so you can kind of follow like what you want to follow and see what you want to see. And I've enjoyed it so far, and I feel like a lot of NBA fans and media types are going over there and just talking basketball. It's just been a cool place. So this is not like a read or anything. I'm just telling you, like, I've been pretty active on Blue Sky, and I'll be doing a lot more on there. I know Morgan is too. So if you haven't tried Blue Sky, it's like a free app. It's just like,
I like it.
Yeah. Just, you know, check it out. And, you know, maybe you like it more than X if you don't, or if you've been, you know, there's a lot of people who like don't like X, and it's like, I don't want to see stuff like that. And you want to try something that's similar without the algorithms and all that stuff. Blue Sky, at least from my experience, messing around with it, I've enjoyed it so far. So check it out.
Yeah, I think Threads try to be something like that. Yeah. But what I will say so far, just so user-friendly, easy, fun to interact with people as well. So
yeah, it looks like, I mean, I'm showing on the screen right now, it looks just like it. And yeah. You know, Will's, our guy Will Z's on there.
Oh, yeah.
Putting interesting stuff tonight about the two-point attempts for Sacramento. The Kings is a team 35 of 50 on two-point attempts, 70%. That's wow. On Blue Sky. Oh, look, even James Hamm is posting.
Hammy Hamm.
James Hamm's old, and he's on Blue Sky. I mean, think about that. I mean, that's good. He's so trendy. Mark Spears.
follow back.
Anyway, so check it out if you want to. We'll be back again Friday night. Also be on pre and post game with Morgan Friday night and Saturday night. Kings have a back-to-back coming up Friday, Saturday with Minnesota, then Utah.
Let's party.
We love you guys, but we got to go. Morgan, get better.
You all have a wonderful rest of your night. I'm going to go sleep night-night.
Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo. They tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo, the podcast that you know. Deuce and Mo.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound packs of juicy Kroger red, green, or black seedless grapes for $3.99 with your card and a digital coupon. Then get 1-pound packs of flavorful Private Selection 80% Lean Angus Ground Chuck for $4.99 each with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.